Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really diving deep into the aftermath of Hurricane Ian. Specifically, we're looking at the insurance claims process, something that could really impact any of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've given me some pretty intense stuff to work with, news reports, firsthand accounts, the works, and it really paints a stark picture of what homeowners were up against after the storm, especially when it came to dealing with insurance. So let's just jump right in. We've got a lot to unpack.
For sure. And, you know, it's like we always say, big disasters often shine a light on the issues in the systems we depend on, right?
Mm.
And while Hurricane Ian was obviously devastating on its own, it's how the insurance companies reacted afterward that makes this deep dive particularly concerning, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I'd say so. And the 60 Minutes piece we're looking at doesn't beat around the bush either. They come right out and call Ian deadly and extremely destructive.
Mm.
And that's backed up by the report you sent over that said it was the costliest hurricane in Florida's history. So
yeah, and you know, it's easy to just hear those words
yeah.
and not really grasp the actual scale of the damage, you know?
Yeah.
We're talking over 150 lives lost in Florida alone, billions upon billions of dollars in damage, and cities like Fort Myers and Naples were just completely unrecognizable. That level of destruction, it would overwhelm anyone, any system, and it looks like we're seeing the cracks starting to show in how insurance companies are handling everything.
Absolutely. And those cracks, they become even more clear when you look at individual stories like this family, the Rapkins, who were featured in the 60 Minutes piece. I mean, they literally had their roof ripped off during the hurricane. There's actually footage of it. It's pretty intense. And their house was completely flooded. I mean, just destroyed.
Oh, yeah. I saw that footage. It's hard to watch, honestly. Like, you immediately get a sense of the raw power of the hurricane, the terror those people must have felt. It really drives home the human cost of these events, you know?
Absolutely heartbreaking. And so the Rapkins, they did what anyone in that situation would do. They filed a claim with their insurance, Heritage. But here's where things get a little unsettling. The adjuster, Jordan Lee, he inspects the damage, and everything seems to point to a total rebuild, right? But the payout they offered the family, nowhere near what he recommended.
And that right there, that difference between what the adjuster determined and what they actually paid out, that's a major red flag. Makes you wonder if there's something systematic going on here in how these companies assess and process these claims, especially after a huge disaster when everyone's scrambling, you know?
Right, exactly. And it's not an isolated incident either. The report goes on to say that Jordan Lee wasn't the only one with this experience. Other adjusters have come forward with similar stories, claiming some companies were pushing them to change their damage reports to make the payouts less.
See, that's what's concerning. This isn't about, like, small discrepancies or differences of opinion. These adjusters are saying there's actual manipulation going on with these damage assessments.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to roofs, which are obviously a huge expense in hurricane damage.
Yeah, they even use the phrase systematic criminal fraud in the report, which is, I mean, that's a serious accusation. It suggests this isn't random, it's intentional, you know? And one guy even said he was fired for refusing to underreport damages, which really takes it from a possible mistake to a pattern of bad behavior.
Exactly. And if these allegations are true, it points to something, well, something very troubling. I mean, what would make an insurance company undervalue or underpay these claims, especially after such a horrific event? It's supposed to be the opposite, right?
Right. I mean, isn't that the whole point of insurance? To be there for people when they need it most. What's the point of paying all those premiums if they aren't going to properly cover you for the very thing you're insured for?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And it kind of forces you to think about, well, the more cynical side of things. Mm-hmm. Could it be that some insurance companies, maybe not all, but some, are they putting profits ahead of the people they insure? After a disaster like Ian, you have to imagine the cost of paying out all those claims would be massive.
Right. So maybe they're trying to, I don't know, cut corners to reduce those payouts, which is, I mean, that's pretty messed up if that's what's going on.
It's definitely something that needs to be investigated further. It's not to say that these companies aren't also under a lot of financial pressure, but, you know, that doesn't excuse any unethical or even worse, illegal practices. It's this constant balancing act, right? They need to make money, sure, but they also have to honor the agreements they made with their policyholders.
Totally. And speaking of which, what about Heritage specifically? I know the 60 Minutes report mentioned they reached out to them for a comment. Did Heritage have any explanation for these accusations?
They did, yeah. They put out a statement, so it was standard stuff. They couldn't comment on specific cases, but they stressed that they're committed to paying out every single claim that's, you know, legitimate. But there was something else they said that I found interesting. They mentioned they'd recently updated their software that handles claims because apparently it wasn't including the names of adjusters who made changes to the reports.
Hold on, wait. So their software was like automatically removing the names of adjusters who were changing damage assessments? That seems, I don't know, awfully convenient if you ask me.
Yeah, it's definitely, it raises some questions for sure. Was it really just an oversight in their software? Or are we talking about an intentional attempt to cover up potential manipulation? And even if it was a mistake, it still makes you wonder about their internal controls, you know? Like, how did something like that slip through the cracks?
Exactly. Even if we give them the benefit of the doubt, it still points to a potential systemic problem, either a lack of transparency or something more intentional, and that's not okay.
And that's a huge challenge for people, for homeowners, right? Most people don't have the time or the knowledge to go through their insurance policies with a fine-tooth comb,
yeah,
or to challenge these potentially inaccurate reports.
So what can homeowners do to protect themselves, especially in the middle of a disaster when they're already dealing with so much? It just feels like an impossible situation.
It can feel that way, for sure. But there are things homeowners can do to even the odds a bit, so to speak. And it starts with being proactive. Don't wait for a hurricane to hit to finally read your insurance policy.
So you're saying dust off that binder and actually figure out what it says.
Exactly. Really pay attention to the details like your coverage limits, especially for things like roof replacements and flood damage, because those can be really different depending on your plan. And if there's anything that doesn't make sense, don't be afraid to contact your insurance company and get clarification. When it comes to this stuff, knowledge really is power.
And what about in the heat of the moment, like when a disaster has actually happened? What steps can people take while they're going through the claims process to protect themselves?
Documentation, documentation, documentation. Take photos, videos, whatever you can of all the damage before you start cleaning up. And keep really good records of all communication with the insurance company, dates, times, names of the people you speak with, everything. If you can, try to be there when the adjuster comes to look at the damage and keep track of what they're doing.
So basically, create a paper trail just in case.
Exactly. That way, you have something to back you up if you need to dispute a claim or if something doesn't add up later on. And never forget that you've got the right to ask questions throughout this whole thing. If something doesn't seem right, don't be afraid to say something.
And if those questions aren't being answered or they hit a wall with their insurance company, what then? Are there any other resources out there that can help?
Absolutely. There are groups like your state's Department of Insurance that can give you advice and support. And there are organizations like that United Policyholders Association mentioned in the report that can provide resources and even legal assistance to help people navigate the whole insurance claims process. It can be really complicated, so it's good to know there's help available.
It is reassuring to know there's support out there. But I have to say, it still feels like we're looking at a systemic problem here. Are there any larger solutions to fix this issue within the insurance industry itself?
You've hit on a really important point. This isn't just about individuals being proactive. It's about pushing for more transparency and accountability within the industry as a whole.
So what would that look like? What could be done?
Well, for one, it could mean tougher regulations and oversight of insurance companies, particularly after major disasters. It could also mean pushing for laws that give consumers more protection when there are disputes with insurance companies.
Mm.
And, of course, it means continuing to bring these issues to light and holding these companies responsible for their actions.
We've definitely dug up a very complex issue here, and there are no easy answers. But I think by even having this conversation, by taking this deep dive into the problems and potential solutions, we're moving in the right direction, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, for sure. It really does feel like one of those situations where knowledge is power. Mm-hmm. You know, the more we understand these systems and how they can be gamed, the better we can protect ourselves. 100%. Being aware of the problem is the first step to actually making things better. It's about evening the playing field, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not blindly trusting these big institutions, mm-hmm. especially when they have so much power. You have to be your own advocate.
Absolutely. We depend on these companies to do right by us, especially when something like a hurricane hits and throws everything into chaos, which, you know, it makes me wonder, when you're facing something so big and powerful, what can one person, one homeowner really do? It feels kind of overwhelming, honestly.
I get it. I totally get it. But it's important to remember that big changes always start on a smaller scale, right? Even just by talking about these issues, sharing this information with friends and family, you're already making a difference, raising awareness. And hopefully, all that awareness will eventually lead to bigger changes, whether it's demanding more transparency from insurance companies or supporting laws that protect homeowners.
Right, like turning that feeling of helplessness into action, realizing that even though we're individuals, our voices and choices, they do add up. They can create a larger movement.
Exactly. We're not just passive bystanders in these systems. We have a voice. We have power. We have the right to demand fairness and accountability.
This deep dive has been pretty eye-opening, to say the least. We've gone from the devastation of Hurricane Ian to the inner workings of the insurance industry and the importance of, taking a stand. So as we wrap up here, is there one big takeaway you want to leave our listeners with today?
If you remember one thing from this whole conversation, let it be this. Knowledge is everything. Understand your insurance policy, document absolutely everything, and never, ever be afraid to stand up for yourself. And if you get a roadblock, don't give up. There are resources out there to help.
That's right. Don't be afraid to ask those tough questions, push back, and demand the protection you deserve. We've been on quite a journey today, haven't we? We've uncovered some pretty concerning stuff, but we've also talked about solutions, ways to fight back. It's a good reminder that even when things seem bleak, we're not powerless. We can create a better, fairer future if we work together. And that is it for today's deep dive. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay empowered.